Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show. Liverpool are going to be taking on Southampton at 3 p.m. kickoff. Do we all have to do the dewy-eyed, like, 3 p.m. kickoff thing, or we pass that?
I'm past it, yeah. It works for me on the watch-alongs. I get home earlier. Yeah. I can take that. I was here late for the Arsenal game, so it works for me.
Yeah.
I might be one of the few people who benefit from earlier kickoffs.
I think absolutely fine. For me, I've had this debate for a long time. Sorry, I'm Paul Machen, Ross Chadley and Steve Hodge. I'm already here from Steve, we're here from Ross. Yeah, the 3 p.m. kickoff thing. I'm probably in a very small minority. I love those very rare Friday night games. They're my absolute favourites. But like, I like half 12 from a perspective when you win, because you know you've got all your happiness and it's all done and stood up, and you get a full weekend to enjoy every other kick of football, which adds to the Friday stuff. But yeah, go on. What's your favourite kick off time?
Yeah, I think the half 12 when you win is a good one. Early finish, but also like you just said there, you just stress and worry watching all the games beforehand. They're going, well, we need to win this game, the pressure's on and all that crap. It's just, yeah.
But
if we lose half 12, then half 12 kickoffs are shit.
Friday night's always not so much, but like that. It's about the best ever was when we played New Year. Did we play New Year's Eve? Did we play Man City New Year's Eve at Hope? Yeah. Like, what a game that was. I normally drive the match, but I just went straight to the pub. And I was like 3 pints in when all the family arrived at the restaurants, wherever we were eating. That was amazing. belter of a weekend. Right, so Liverpool, Southampton. Yeah, it is a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. Southampton, they are a weird team. I might have slightly slandered them on Press Box this week, where I just said they're just a very forgettable football team. Like, they're in that clutch of teams at the moment. It's them and Wolves pretty much. And to be fair, Wolves are flying at the moment, but they are. You could conceivably see a world where they could push for European places. They're not likely to get relegated. They play a decent brand of football. They've got some good players. They've got a good manager, etc., etc. But I don't think they're going to finish between 9th and 13th.
I don't know, mate. You know, I don't agree with that.
Really?
They're definitely not going to get relegated. I think they're not good. Like, they were in a relegation battle last year. They are not great. We're at a point now where their policy of buy and replace, buy and replace, buy and replace, so, and obviously with the sales as well in there, it's starting to bite them on the arse a bit.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can go to that well, and they went to it again this summer with Danny Ings. And they keep going back to it and all. And like, the squad depth that Southampton used to have isn't there no more. The star quality they had isn't there no more. And Danny Ings' goals aren't there, and that's a huge problem for them. They haven't replaced that. So, again, I'm just looking at the league table here right now.
I can get it up for us here, actually.
I mean, they're a point at, 14 points, and that's, five with the relegation zone. I don't think they're safe at all. What they've got, I agree about the good manager. But the thing with the good managers, they get battered in games. Well. Yeah. They just lost to Norwich. You mean like,
the Dean Smith bounce, don't we?
It was, yeah. It very much was. They're not in good form, really speaking. We've been bitten by Southampton before, and I think that sometimes clouds our judgment on them. But they're not that. I don't think they're that team anymore.
Did we say that they're actually in? They're not. That's not true. They are in good. They are in reasonably good form. I know they just lost to Norwich, but they've won three of the last four before that. You know, they're just a weird team. They don't score goals, Ross. That's the point. Yeah, Danny, they've taken Danny Ings out, and the fact that they've managed to just be there. I mean, my point is that everyone's been raving about Brentford, and they're a point ahead of Brentford, and Brentford do have you know, they've got a goal scorer. They've got even Tony there, who, you know, can score goals. Southampton just feel a little bit like lacking in cutting edge, but they're not. There's too many dreadful sides, I think, in the Premier League. So I think we do need to be wary of them.
Possibly, but I think when you see Brentford, like you said before, Southampton are a forgettable side. Brentford have got an identity in the way that they play, and I think there's all the kind of like, they've got a decent crowd, new stadium. Obviously, everyone likes the manager and what they built, and you know, the analyst stuff that they brought in, the way that they built themselves, I think people can recognise. Whereas
Southampton have been that for 15 years.
But they were. Yeah. You know, how many times have we been to them and picked off a few of their players and done that? And like Steve says, when you sell Danny Ings, and it's, was it Che Adams, and I can't remember the guy that they tried to replace him with. Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And like you said, I think part of me is a little surprised that the manager's still there, because everyone else has pulled the trigger that's kind of in and around that kind of form, or you know, whatever else, you know, particularly Watford, I think, as soon as something goes wrong. But it isn't just like this season, though. It's kind of mixed. But they've been spanked 9-0 twice, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
2 weeks prior to that, they beat Liverpool
and
Anfield.
And that's the thing, they are so inconsistent, and that's the point. I think he is a good manager. I think he's working in very difficult...
Liverpool side, though.
Yeah, but what
saying, it's Southampton. That's the thing. That's
my point about them. Yeah. Is that they are more, they've driven Man City this season.
Yeah.
You know, they're more than capable of doing all right, of winning football matches and actually halting good teams in their tracks because of the way that they play. They just don't have what it takes to be above and beyond.
Yeah, that's when you said they could finish ninth, I'd be shocked, like, if they finished top half. But again, it's the goals. They haven't got the goals. Adam Armstrong, I think, scored on his debut and hasn't really done a whole lot
to the point. They've got four joint top goal scorers at the moment, in Adam Armstrong, James Ward-Prowse, Che Adams and Armando Broja, I've never heard of, all with two goals each so far, which is, and again, top assists, Nathan Redmond and Adam Armstrong have got two assists each.
But then the flip side is, they are so inconsistent that they probably should have won at Man City. They get denied a penalty on a VAR challenge and a red card that I think didn't meet the clear and obvious. I think it was debatable. It wasn't a clear error from the ref. So yeah, that's what they've got. There's the warning sign for Liverpool, that they went to City and almost won. They got a point and nearly won a game. So that's what you do have to be wary of. Ward-Prowse is just a magician from set plays, and listen, West Ham did us on set pieces, and I bet you all week Southampton have been working on set plays. Mm-hmm. We've had this game against Porto, they haven't had nothing to do that. I imagine every single day Ralph Hasenhüttl's been figuring out which centre half's going to stand in front of Alisson and things like that, and the delivery from Ward-Prowse is probably the best in the world. It's up there with as good as anybody. So that's the danger they pose. Again, the flip side is they don't score many, and Liverpool have scored two goals in the last 16 games, like two or more. It's hard to see how West Southampton are going to get two from, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But they are not complete write-offs, but Southampton at home is a game that Liverpool have to be getting 3 points from.
I want to draw attention to the fact that Ralph Hasenhüttl has gone through some sort of mad personality change over the summer as well. He's gone from being like a guy who probably drinks five too many pints of Carlin in the local pub to he now looks like a real craft ale man.
He looks like a man who loves an IPA.
He does. He's become a very big IPA fan over the summer. I don't know what that is. He's a big fan of Mumford & Sons all of a sudden. I don't know how that's happened. And apparently he liked Kings of Leon before they were cool. I don't know what that's all about. But I think he's a good manager. And again, they are the type of energetic team that gets in office and has caused us a bit of problems so far this season. So that's my point on them, is that Liverpool should be sound. And again, they've scored 11 goals in 12 games in the league so far this season, but they're not getting battered by anyone as well, which is the kind of point. It should be sound. It's at Anfield.
As long as Liverpool have learned lessons from the likes of Brighton and West Ham, but I don't know what you're saying before about set pieces, but in terms of the way we set up, which I think was the major difference from Arsenal, of not throwing loads of bodies in desperation for a goal to happen, therefore leaving yourselves exposed, because I imagine Southampton will try and hit us on the counter-attack.
And then the flip side of that is, if you get them 2-0 down, step on the throat to make it 3. And Liverpool, I think we've seen a ruthlessness to Liverpool. Again, the Arsenal one was a clear example of that. To be honest, Porto was a little bit, not as much, but Liverpool weren't sitting back at 2-0. Mm-hmm. They didn't take the foot off the gas, it was just for whatever reason. It was only really the last 15 minutes where Liverpool put the foot on the ball to an extent.
Yeah.
But that's the difference with the Brighton game. The Brighton game at 2-0, it was a row, it was easy. And then it did feel like, you know, and that was a 3 o'clock Saturday, like you said, mentioned before, Paul, where you know it's going to be a little bit different atmosphere.
This is not going to be a rocking Anfield for this game. And I know it sounds mad to say this with certainty when I'll be at the game, you know, and I can have an impact, and I will. I'll sing and clap and do me biz. But it's a games where Liverpool are expected to turn up and do the business. These are those games where you need to be on it on the pitch. And it's right to the point, Brighton was great until the point where it wasn't. And I wonder whether, I guess what we mean by putting our foot on the throat, for me, putting the foot on the throat is a little bit different because we've been putting our foot on the throat of everyone this season. Whereas this is probably a situation where you're just like, just step back and leave them to die. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we
just need last 20 minutes.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Just pass the ball around. And Thiago being back is a big part of that. Certainly, actually having midfield choices. The fact that you've got James Milner in there, Jordan Henderson's going to be back for availability as well. Hopefully, you know, again, Trent having had a midweek off, Robbo and Tsimikas being both primed and ready to go, etc., etc. Jota again being fit and fresh could definitely play. Yeah. Absolutely. We have got a Twitter poll where we asked the question because we did the final word show and we were talking, Steve, around Costa Tsimikas' performance. We were talking around Andy Roberts' performance and how Andy Robbo just came onto that pitch like prime Andy Robertson. He looked ready. He was prime. He was charging around, energetic. It looked like he had a real point to prove. And I postulated on that show that I think if we put a poll out, this would be the closest split of fan opinion as to who should start this game. For you, who would you go with, Robbo or Tsimikas?
Oh, I think I would go with Tsimikas because I think I would have Robbo in the derby. I think that's me thinking. I think, to be honest, if it's on form, if Jürgen's sticking to his form, whingy your shirt mentality and that thing, then I think Tsimikas deserves it. Mm-hmm. No, Liverpool haven't let a goal in with him on the pitch. Liverpool have won every game he's played from the start. The only time they haven't won is a sub appearance against Chelsea. So I think I would go with Tsimikas and I'd give Robertson the extra couple of times to just get him prepared for the derby. I think I'd want Robertson in the derby. An away derby at Goodison, I think I'd want Robertson and his mentality and that kind of stuff on the pitch, which isn't a slight on Tsimikas because I think he's got all that about him as well. He seems like a very, I don't know what it is, bubbly character, like he's up for it. He gets involved a lot of it. But yeah, on form and everything like that, I think I'm going for Tsimikas, to be honest. But again, it's splitting hairs. It's a good problem to have. It's not Trent, Nico Williams, with all due respect to Nico Williams. Like Trent gets 100% of that poll. Mm-hmm. This one, it's a genuine 50-50 chance. And again, I think it would be harsh on Tsimikas. I think if you say to Robertson, you've got to earn your place back, that's a good thing. And it looked like that against Porto. It looked like when everyone else was like, all right, yeah, maybe now we can have a little rest on the ball. Robbo was like, I need to prove myself here. Mm-hmm. And that's the benefit of the Tsimikas signing and him playing well. I would go again. I would get Tsimikas on the pitch. And I would hope that it really, really fires Andy Robertson up to have a worldie in the derby. So yeah, that's what I'd do.
He's also Tsimikas in his favour. There's obviously loads of stats doing the round. I think he's 8 games, 8 wins, no goals conceded, which we should go for all. It's all down to him. So yeah, I think he gets any goals.
We love a nice oversimplification in stats. Yeah,
because last night we could have easily conceded some goals, by the way. And it was a slightly
and
different...
And one with him falling over.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I agree with Steve. I think I'd play him. You play him while he's... His bags under his eyes aren't getting too big, and then you let him have a rest for the derby. Because not that I think he'd do anything bad in the Merseyside derby, but I think I like Robertson's shithousery, but I think it'd be controlled. Whereas Tsimikas isn't as experienced in the Merseyside derby as well.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And like I say, that's no slight. The good news is I don't really care, and that's a good place to be. There are certain players in the, like, if Liverpool are swapping out Mo Salah for Taki Minamino or Origi's playing instead of Mane, then you're like, wow, the drop-off is huge. And I think Andy Robertson is a world-class left-back, by the way, but the fact that we can bring a lad in, and I don't think, whoever starts, whoever Jürgen names at 2 o'clock on the weekend, we're all like, oh yeah, that's fine.
I guess it just sort of depends on what's the point of rotating Robbo. Have we got Tsimikas so that we get more and better from Andy Robertson? Yeah. Or have we rotated them because we're looking to improve upon Andy Robertson? Or are we just looking to split the game time a bit more so you're getting, you've got two brilliant guys because they use a lot of energy up in it. We don't really know where that from come. The suspicion right now is the first one, is that we want a better Andy Robertson because there's a reason Robertson comes in for Chelsea. I think, you know, he'd been injured and he goes straight back in for the Chelsea game. This is a really interesting psychological test here for the players and how Klopp manages this, because Costas has not done anything wrong. In fact, he's been good. So, and it's not a massive game at the weekend. So if you're bringing Robbo back in for this, is it then saying, well, Robbo gets this and then I'm going to decide who works hardest and they start the derby? Because actually that's pretty cool. Because that might help benefit both players. Because if you don't play Costas in this one, and then it's Robbo a game for the derby, is that like, how do you, you're going to run the risk of Costas Tsimikas of being like, at what point does he go, oh, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, but you say that, Paul, but when he was signed, he signed for Liverpool knowing Liverpool had Andy Robertson, so he must have knew what he was coming in as. Mm-hmm. The same reason Ibu Konate knows what he's walked into, he knows that he's getting this. The flip side is, you mentioned like, what's the point and how's Klopp picking it? I think if you're picking it on form, then it's Tsimikas anyway. And again, there's a genuine argument to be made. If Liverpool think the derby's a harder game, then there's an argument to put Tsimikas in the derby because mm-hmm. he's been actually been playing better than Robertson. So that's the flip side of it. I think personally, I'm preempting the result of this poll. I've got a sneaky feeling Tsimikas is going to win the vote. I think he's very much flavour of the month at the moment, and he deserves to be because he's played really well.
And Andy Robertson's not. Actually, I've started to notice a creeping thing where people getting a bit angry with Robbo and starting to clamour for it. We've got the poll up, actually. You can go and vote now. There's 23 hours left on it if you want to try and make a difference, but it won't make a difference to what I'm showing you right now because this is live. Who would you start at left back on Saturday? Robbo, 49.4% of the vote, and Costas Tsimikas takes it with 50.6%.
That's tighter than cramp.
Tight as cramp, that, mate. Tight as cramp. But isn't tech as unlucky, Jason McAteer. In joke from the final word, do go and check that out. It's available right now on Redman Plus. I think that shows you where we're at, really.
But also, as we mentioned on the final word, the amount of football that Robertson's played. So it's no shock when he came on last night that he's pumped up and fired up, obviously, as we mentioned, for the competition. But he's had a rest. He's had time to, like, be injured, recover, and not go, you know, as you mentioned before, oh, you're straight back in, by the way, because we don't trust what Tsimikas is doing. Again, I bring it back to squad depth, which everyone kind of bangs on about. We've got one, we've got the luxury of using it. If Tsimikas doesn't play the Merseyside derby, I don't think you'll think, what's the fucking point? Because you'll look at the fixture list and go, well, I'm going to get more games than I got last season, this month, probably.
Yeah. He's probably there already, and we didn't see him at all.
He'd probably be happy with Robbo getting rushed back, because he's more likely to get injured if he gets rushed back and get more games off the back of it.
Who would you pick?
I would stick with Tsimikas.
Yeah, same.
Because I think he's earned it. And I think there's a couple of those conversations, which we will have in a moment after we have our break. The trivia question was, when did Liverpool last lose to Southampton in the league at Anfield? What was the score and who scored the goals? Answer after this short break. Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoy this podcast and the other podcasts that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Red Men TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com, sign up there today. Hey, there we go. Welcome back. Hopefully, after the fact, when this is all neatly re-edited, no one will know the catastrophe that we nearly suffered live here on the show. It's not the first time I've accidentally been shown to the hang on, careful with that.
At least wear your pants on this time.
The trivia question was, when was the last time Southampton beat Liverpool in the league at Anfield? What was the score? Who was the scorer? We've got some suggestions. Someone saying Mane in there, which is incorrect. Steve, you know the answer. Ross, do you know the answer?
No, I'll have a guess.
Go on. That's what I'm waiting for.
2013.
Yes.
Well done.
Fuck off, was it? That's it.
Beginning of the 2013-14 season. Yeah. Effectively, it was a game that effectively might have cost Liverpool the league if you tally the points up from them games that season.
Yep.
And do you know who scored?
Lovren.
Yeah. Fucking hell! Brilliant. Degsy cost us the league title.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Was that the 21st of September?
Oh, Ross.
Bellend.
Did you Google it?
Moment. You wrote it on your hand.
Yeah. Yeah. But acting.
Well,
you had a real opportunity to.
I'm not that person.
I can't. You were that person to do it, but not to deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt guilty afterwards. Don't like cheating.
Oh, Ross. Go on.
But entertainment.
The Southampton's lineup out of interest was Arthur Boric in goal. Nathaniel Clyne was at right back. Dejan Lovren, partner Jose Font at centre half. Luke Shaw was left back. Victor Wanyama, Morgan Snyder, and Adam Lallana were in midfield. And it was Danny Osvaldo, Jay Rodriguez, and Ricky Lambert up front.
There's a lot of ex Liverpool players.
There's a lot of ex and a bit of Everton and a bit of Man United. That Southampton side got royally picked apart, didn't it? Royally. Right, sound. There you go. Well done. If you got that, you're an absolute genius. If you were
unless
cheated.
You're a cheat. Unless you're a cheat. Disgrace.
I'm fine with
boo.
It.
We sang Alley for you. Boo.
I was genuinely thrilled. My face on that replay is going to be one of joy, and you ruined
absolutely
it.
Fucking okay. Horrendous. We needed that win, Ross, and you just stolen that from us with your cheating.
Get Joe to edit
with your honesty.
Get Joe to edit that out with you. iPad back out to five.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah. Does anyone from the midweek deserve to keep their place in this side?
Do you want to remind people of the invitational?
Oh, shit. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. By the way, yes, we told everyone earlier on we got a brand new Redmen League on the Ultimate Fan stuff. Do check it out. It's really good fun. Do use our link, by the way. Don't use anyone else's. Use ours. There is a league that you can join. So now we can play along with you guys and we can see what everyone's getting up to. And we will be putting that out on our socials when it finishes and we'll be bringing it into the show on a weekly basis. So come and join the Redmen League. The code is
BC65. I don't know. Just does that sometimes. There we go. Mm-hmm. BC6528. So when you go on the app, if you've got it already, make sure you update the app because it won't be there. But on the top right hand side, there's a plus sign. Just put the code in there and you join and you're fine.
Peace go to at the Redmen TV Twitter account and it's there for you to see.
Yeah. There's a little guide on there as well.
If you scroll through because they tweet a lot of shit.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Deserves a place. Yeah, absolutely. Thiago deserves to stay in the team. We mentioned Shimakas deserves to stay in the team. There's a few there. I mean, it's different for Thiago because Thiago is an established. I think he gets in Liverpool's best 11 anyway. Well, yeah. I know he gets in Liverpool's best 11. Ox is the one that you could feasibly, if he's fit enough and strong enough to go again, I think it makes perfect sense to let him go again. Bring Fabinho in, Thiago in, stays, and then I'd be fine with that. At some point, the captain's going to come back in there anyway. But my feeling with Ox is, again, and maybe I'm disparaging him here, and maybe this is going to sound really harsh, but there's nothing to suggest this is going to last that long. So it's like striking while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
If Ox is in this role of run of the form, let's go with it until he's not.
Yeah.
And I thought he was excellent against Arsenal. I thought he was really good against Porto. So if it was me, yeah, I'd happily let... Again, you don't have to give him the full game. He can have an hour. Henderson can get the extra half hour. We know he's not being 100% fit with training and stuff. So yeah, of all the players who deserve, I think the midfield, especially, I think Thiago and Ox are probably the best two players on the pitch. Mm-hmm. I think they both deserve to start if that's how Jürgen's going to play it.
It is a fascinating one because the derby looming is a big part of this, and it's like you want everyone pairing for that. And I know you're right; he often picks mad teams for derbies.
I don't think he thinks Everton are very good.
No, I know that's definitely true. He definitely treats Everton the way that he treats everyone else. He very rarely just put our absolute best team out. But I think we might do more of that this time around because we've been afforded it, because we've not run everyone into the ground because of rotation in midweek this week. But also, just how tight it is. And again, we don't have a good record at Goodison Park, and there's a bit of a wrong to right from last season where, if you remember, we went That was the closest to our strongest 11 almost we've ever had.
Jordan Pickford, and Richarlison.
With the exception of Adrian in goal and Jordan Pickford, you know, throwing in tackles. I don't know. I would like Ox on merit to be able to keep his place, but my point is you've got to get Jordan Henderson ready because I think he absolutely has to play the derby.
Yeah, it's nice to have a decision to make, isn't it, really? I think I'd start Oxlade-Chamberlain and give Hendo 30, 35 minutes because I don't think you're doing him any harm. And I don't think Ox plays the derby. I think you're getting both, best of both, and you're getting Oxlade-Chamberlain straight
away. You know who might play the derby, by the way? Milner might play the derby from the start as well. I wouldn't be shocked.
The problem
I think he needs to, does he?
No, but that's the thing.
No needs to. I think Jürgen would like Milner on the pitch. I've got just a sneaky feel I think he might.
The problem we've got with this is that if Thiago is fit, there's no game of football that isn't suited to Thiago Alcantara because he's that good.
Yeah.
And Fabinho's the best six. Jordan's going to find himself in a slightly awkward position all of a sudden. And that's where Milner's ends up that bit down the pecking order. Milner probably goes back into his role as let's shore things up for the final 20 minutes of football matches.
Yeah, he's not playing AC Milan either, is he?
Well, yeah. So he's got a week off afterwards. It's tricky. I mean, look at us. Look at how far we've come.
Midfielders. Look at us. Keita's trained right in Italian as well.
It'll be too soon for him, you'd imagine. Again, the point
AC is Milan's good for him.
Well, no need to rush him back at all now. But we have, you know, we've got, you know, and even Tyler Morton's put himself into the conversation if we want to. I was actually thinking of him as he's the new Pezzo Chirivella, in so much as Jürgen Klopp started playing him in those like he played him in the derby, didn't he? And he played him in a couple of those games all of a sudden when you're like, well, what's he going to do to rotate this side? And then here you go, there's Pedro.
Tyler Morton just starting at Goodison would be quite the style. And that might show you again what Jürgen thinks of Everton.
He doesn't like that, does he?
He doesn't rate Everton, mate. Well, he doesn't think they're good.
I think he does that sometimes to tell Everton
what we think of them.
Because it's like going, they don't even think we're good enough. And particularly when they're struggling and they've got some of their own doubts, having the best manager in the world basically tell you, no, you're right, you are a bit crap. But I think because it's Rafa and because it's all that, you know, I think he will go stronger. But before we get ahead of ourselves, particularly just for the game in front of us, I think Henderson probably needs to start. You know, I think it actually makes sense that you would play him for 60 and play Ox for 30 in this, and then you've got the choice to decide what you want to do for the derby.
But has Ox done anything wrong to warrant that?
No, not at all. But that's squad management, isn't it? I don't think that depends whether it's merit or keeping your plate spinning is how to look at it. Jordan won't damage Jordan in any way for having another bit of time.
It damages Ox, I think, if you take him off the team now. That's my thinking on it. I think, again, striking while the iron's hot, stick with him and go with it. But yeah, again, it's one of those where I don't think it's that big an issue. I actually think for this game, I think Oxlade-Chamberlain's actually better suited than Henderson. Mm-hmm. I think with Thiago and Fabinho, we both presume he's going to start. I don't think you need the third. I don't know what Henderson's role is, but more controlling. I think you can afford to take a risk on Ox, like, you know, a bit more dynamic.
You've got Fabinho and Thiago in there.
Exactly, there's your insurance almost. I actually think the balance of those three is really good. I thought it was excellent against Arsenal. It was probably the most balanced our midfield's looked for quite a while in that. Fabinho has just been amazing, like he always is. Thiago, again, fantastic. And Oxlade-Chamberlain, that bit of dynamism. And you've got to expect from him, you've got to accept as well that he's going to run to the edge of the box at times and get tackled. Because he will. Yeah. But other times you run through the box and you play a pass in and he opens up space. By driving at that back four of Southampton, who I imagine is going to be pretty rigid, Ox is the one, I think, who will open up space. Ideally, if he was fit, this game screams Naby Keita. And I think he'd have started, but he's not. So Ox is almost the next best option of that.
You're on the Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, like, history tour at the moment as well, aren't you? You know, he's done Arsenal, he's got Southampton looming. There's also that thing of like you might have seen his past, present, and future where you haven't done Brighton as well, where you follow the Lallana path out of the club. You know, West Ham, there's a bunch of clubs that he's played where it's like this is where you might end up if you don't succeed at Liverpool, kind of stuff. So, but to the point, we actually, I don't know, we have a bit of a mixed bag when ex Southampton players play against Southampton. Like Lallana struggled a few times, Lovren lost his head once or twice. I don't think he's felt with this, you know, having not jumped between them to us. I don't think Ox carries that kind of stigma, but it's another good chance for him to just. He's getting better.
Yeah. He's playing games. Shock, horror. And I said, I referenced this when I spoke to Errol on Arden's the match for Porto. I did say to him, like, it's not. Sometimes with Ox, he gets dropped in and then he's gone again for a month and he's dropped in again, he's gone. And then we're all judging him on that one game where he looked a bit crap, where he had no rhythm. And I referenced Konate against Porto, looked like a man who had no rhythm. If Konate got five games, I'd be shocked in the fifth game in the run, he'd look pretty as shaky as he did at time against Porto. We've got Ox, again, that's what I'm saying, he's built up this head of steam, let's capitalise on it now, because he doesn't look like a player, I think, who you could... And it's strange to say this for a squad rotational player. He isn't actually that good at being that because he's not a guy you can just drop in and he looks the same, where he looks like he needs that run, and then we got him.
Well, in midfield.
Yeah, if you stick him on the right or something, but if you're playing him centre mid, I think he's better for the run out.
If you want him to be more than a 7 out of 10 footballer, then he's got to play games of football.
Yeah. And to Steve's point before, the way that he does play, the thing that annoyed me about Brighton and West Ham was our transitional play. And it's like, you taking it, I'm not saying Henderson does this, by the way, but you take an extra split second in your build-up and trying to counter their counter, then the moment's gone. And we got really poor at that. And I imagine Southampton will do much of the same of going, well, we'll let Liverpool have the ball, we're happy to have it, we'll take our moments where we can. But when they've committed loads of bodies forward, we'll try and hit them back. When you're reversing that, Oxlade-Chamberlain's a perfect person because you're talking about that driving forward and just go, like, directness with the ball. I think he's ideal for that. And like you said, he'll find moments where he's got three people in front of him. He did last night and he'll lose the ball. It'd be frustrating, but he's someone who takes risks and takes a gamble.
Yeah, no, it's interesting stuff, certainly. Again, having a selection headache. I mean, the good thing is the games are so thick and fast. And again, you're going to pick up little daft injuries here and there. So the doors are going to be, it's going to be a rotating door, I think, of players coming in and going back out again and what have you. But again, I don't know. The good thing is now, I think Ox has done enough in the last few weeks where we can make a sensible case for him starting. You can make a sensible case for him being on the bench. It would be a bit weird if he just all of a sudden wasn't involved for two or three games. But, I mean, that's the nature of where we're at, really. We have got, as much as people have tried to make it out, like Liverpool haven't got lots of midfield options, this is the thing where we're faced with. Yes, we've got injury-prone midfielders, but when they are all fit concurrently, and they're not, we've still got like Keita and Jones still aren't in the equation, and Elliott still aren't in the equation here. We've got a surplus of guys who all need, like Milner's going to need minutes and Hendo are going to need to be able to make sure that you're getting them at 100%. So whether he chooses to do that and then rotate in the week, we'll certainly have to see.
Can I ask you a question again? Okay, I'm doing this. Who would you pick? Would Ox start for you?
Honest answer, I've got no idea. Yeah, it's hard. Again, like the Tsimikas thing, I would just because on the psychological benefits of saying to these lads, well done, keep going.
Yeah, 100%.
But there are sports science motives behind things that I'm not privy to, which I have a tangential understanding of by studying how Klopp rotates his side.
I'm Football Manager.
Well, no,
he's on 71%.
Absolutely not Football Manager, because the level I play Football Manager does not have that kind of thing in it. Like, I play Football Manager mobile, so it's like, yeah, I like a 4-4-2 attack. So I have a feeling you'll see Robbo and Hendo come in and do the lion's share, and then if it's going well, you might see them the flip reverse of what you saw in midweek is how it would logically follow, but I've got no problem with either of those lads starting. Let us know what you think in the live comments alongside. Let's have a look at the weekend's fixtures.
Sorry, is there not a conversation at centre-back as well, by the way? Only, like, because my concern when you're talking about the same thing for Oxlade-Chamberlain is Joel Matip, and I'm in both camps on Joel Matip are going, obviously played Porto. Does he get a rest between that and then Everton because of the game that he's played? And then Konate played Porto. Does he stay in and Virgil van Dijk comes back in?
Yes, I think I actually do. I think that I agree with that. Yeah. I think Matip will drop out for this. So I think Konate will move back over to where he's best alongside Virgil.
I think it's a very good point because Matip in the derby, ergo the fact that he played the game, up full game against Porto, and this probably thinks he's not going to play three in a week, but four in a week, given he played against Arsenal as well, 4 in 2 weeks. Yeah, I agree. I think we'll see Konate move over.
Matip wouldn't have played against Porto, I think, if Gomez was fit. I think Gomez would have played left centre-half with Konate, and Matip would have had that week
I agree. I think very much like the Palace game where Konate went in again, didn't he, for that one? Mm. I agree. I think we'll see Konate.
I know we're getting ahead of you. Is there a chance if Van Dijk doesn't play the derby?
No. Not at all. I think he's got to play that. That's like, you know, I've used this analogy before, and no one will really reference it, but like there's an episode of Knight Rider, right? Settle in, where the car kit gets absolutely destroyed, and he's got to get put through a course when he gets rebuilt, and he's not, and he's a bit hesitant and blah, 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 and he's got to be able to go, it's like he's got to go through the brick wall, because when you're at your best, you can go through the brick wall, but you've got to psychologically get yourself over the hump. And I think it's important for Virgil to get back on the pitch at Goodison Park and not have your knee snapped in half by the goalkeeper.
Got to keep his head, was the reason I was saying. It's very, very difficult for him to...
And if you don't play him in that, you're like saying he's never going to be right.
Yeah.
And also, calm as you like, it's in the song for a reason. Like, I don't think he's a man who...
No, I don't think he'd go out to go and hurt someone, but I just think it's a unique situation, isn't it?
I'm happy with that. If he wants to go and absolutely lay one on him, that's fine. Just get away with it. Milner rest last night against Porto.
Yeah, not in a malicious, horrible, dangerous way.
A 50-50 derby. No, if you want to, whatever. But a 50-50 derby challenge, I think, more like it. Virgil's not that type of player anyway.
Never had someone lunge at his leg before. Yeah. After
you think he's just going to go an absolute web Pickford?
No, I just think I don't think he will, but I think there's always that realisation there that he might do, because it's such a unique situation.
Hey Ross,
yeah,
let's talk about it next week.
Okay,
fair enough. Yeah, I think you're right on Konate. Go back to that.
I agree with that. I think that's because I think you want Virgil and Matip for the derby, absolutely, and it's a good opportunity to get another more minutes for Konate here. So yes, definitely. Right, the other prayer fixtures happening this weekend. Early kickoff on the Saturday is Arsenal hosting Newcastle. Obviously, then with a bunch of 3 o'clocks, including ourselves, Norwich Wolves, Crystal Palace, Villa, Stevie taking on the Palace, Brighton Leeds is the 5:30 kickoff. Ugh. Sunday, a bunch of 2s. We've got Brentford hosting the Ev, Man City, West Ham, Leicester, Watford, Burnley, Tottenham, and Chelsea against Michael Carrick's Manchester United.
Do you think they're partly not given, besides incompetence, someone the manager's job at Man United, because the Chelsea game's coming up and just thought, don't get off to a bad start?
I think you are giving them far too much credit. I don't think they know which manager they want. Genuinely.
Their plan was not to sack Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Their plan was to stick with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and they had no choice.
And now they're getting rejected by managers as well.
Yes.
I'll stay at Ajax, thank you very much.
Yeah, I do think you've... Yeah, it's not to do with waiting. I think it is generally a case of, Pot, no. Is it? No, okay. Oh shit!
The idea of the interim before an interim thing is just sensational, isn't it? Just speaks to what an absolute car crash of a football club that is.
Steve Bruce is the only person putting his name forward for the job.
Give it to Steve Bruce, honestly.
I was hoping that we could get a new manager bounce on, and again, I wish very little success for Manchester United. But in this game, and Man United wins better for Liverpool.
Chelsea will probably bat them everywhere. But the thing that exists with Man United, and this is why Ole stayed in the job so long, is they've got so many good players that the good players might actually just do.
Ronaldo might just hit a goal.
Exactly. But Chelsea are probably slightly more likely to do to them what we did to them, you know, because that's very
webbed them everywhere. Yeah, and City, West Ham. So West Ham knocked City out of Carabao.
Yes, but. Losing Ogbonna is a big thing for West Ham, isn't it? I will know about them. I think this next month West Ham are going to fall off a cliff.
Do you think?
Yeah, I really do. Yeah, because again, they're not. They've got European football, haven't they?
We thought this last year, though. You know, when they never really.
Yeah, but it was
European thing was different.
It was a different world as well, wasn't it? In terms of what they capitalized on being stable in a very unstable league. Yeah. I hope this is the last the juice we get out of them. Something to Man City.
They're a big, strong, physical side, and I think it's hard to bully Manchester City because they're so good. But if any team can go there,
and City have just come through PSG as well.
If anyone can go to their place and just, to be fair, West Ham got really good players. I think Antonio's brilliant. I'm a big Rice fan, so they've got a chance.
The thing about that is in West Ham's favour there, and maybe Manchester United's favour. It's a bit like us in the West Ham game. We came off there off the back of the Atletico game. And we put a lot into that Atletico game, and we were brilliant. And I know that, you know, European counts all over the place, but City have put a big shift in there against Paris Saint-Germain, and Chelsea have put a big shift in there against Juventus, which is something we obviously haven't had to do in midweek in the same way with Porto. So there's a chance either of those sides drop points. And I think if the league is to normalise in terms of, I think our gap to the first will close in the next month, it tends to happen in the next 2 weeks. We had this a couple of years ago where Chelsea were the third horse in the three horse race, and I think they beat City, and then they dropped half points themselves, and then they started to fall away.
I think there's an argument to say that West Ham is a harder shift than PSG, to be honest with you. And just take the names out of it. I mean, in terms of who you come up against, the fact that they actually play as a team for a start, you know, it's harder to break down than a PSG who play with 7 forwards.
Yeah. It'd be nice for, again, West Ham, again, the physicality and stuff, but I don't want to over-egg that because they're really technically really good as well. Listen, if Southampton can go and take something off Man City at home, I mean, West Ham are way better than Southampton.
Crystal Palace.
Play, yeah. So Man City aren't infallible, you know, they're not. Chelsea are looking like they are. And again, I'm more with you. I'm more on the Chelsea thing. 5-0 Chelsea sounds more realistic than 1-0 Man United. To me, that's where we're at with those two teams.
Yeah, but again, you know, they've managed to do a very peak LA thing, getting past Villarreal, didn't they? You know, like, that's my point. I would say more in hope than an expectation for both of those. They're both capable of taking points off those sides. I'm not going to put anything on that. I'm not going to think about it. If it happens, it's a win. Liverpool just got to go and beat Southampton. We play first as well, which is a nice change. Go and put the points down. If we can put another statement performance down, hand the baton of pressure over to them, when then all of a sudden they've got to go and hyper exert themselves in really big games, having already done that in midweek, to only have the point difference be exactly the same as it was going into the weekend. That's where you start to win the psychological war, hopefully. Score predictions then?
4-0 to Liverpool.
6-0.
I'll take a 3-0 to Liverpool in this one. I'll take more, but I'll be more than content with anyway. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm back to that. I'm back now in the mentality. Maybe less so because it's still November. December, I'd be made up for us to win every game 1-0 in December.
Just got to get through it.
Whatever it takes. Not asked. Just rack up the points. Goal difference. Be damned for goal difference, because we've got a boss goal difference. Just winning football matches is what it's all going to be about. So yes, that, let us know your score predictions in the comments. Do check out the Starting 11 Prediction Show. And if you want more from us, it is Freeview Month on Redmen Plus, which is our Liverpool streaming service, like Netflix for Liverpool fans. We have got extra shows. I'm going to be chatting to Neil Jones, doing Journo Insight live this afternoon. Going to be getting some insights onto the Mason Mount transfer links. Some more on Jurgen Klopp accidentally or being misinterpreted and offending an entire continent. And a couple of other bits and pieces as well. There was the final word show, 60 minutes, looking back on the Porto win and the instant match reaction, which happens after every single game. There was the debate show. There was a round the league show and the Oppo previews as well for Porto, which you missed last week, which you can check out. But there'll be a Southampton one, presumably.
Tonight, yeah. Tonight. Yeah,
there you go. It's Freeview Month. If you use the code REDMENPLUS, then you get all of this week's content, and in fact the rest of the month, which will take you up to Christmas, which gives you, I think, 8 games in December. So you're going to get all the pre and post match build up for all of those games. There is an Exploring a Derelict Melwood feature video to come. There's a 2-part 50 Greatest Liverpool Players of the Premier League Era happening on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. If you start your Freeview Month now, do it, because the code will be turned off at the end of the month. So last chance to get him over the entire 3 month.
I think we have out over between now and Christmas over 55. I think it's 55 shows, give or take. You're going to get absolutely zilcho money.
Yeah,
and the chance to go back and watch everything else we've ever done.
Absolutely, yeah, massive archive, and you can get it in podcast form in your native podcasting apps as well. So if you just like the audio versions of stuff, it's there for you as well. It's both a podcast streaming service and a video streaming service. We have got you covered, Reds. Right, thank you so much. The watch along. We return as well live on YouTube at the weekend. Hope to see you all over there. Thank you very much. That was an absolute pleasure. See you all soon. Ta-da.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.